Welcome to Mind Mastery and Manifestation, the number one podcast helping you rewire your mind to erase fear, unlock your greatest potential, and get the extraordinary relationships, businesses, and lives you've always wanted. We're your hosts, Dan Mendelow
and Sophie Kessler. Hi guys, welcome back to the Mind Mastery podcast. We are so, so glad that you are here. And today we are going to be diving deep into self-image and identity. Yes, what that means is we are going to be talking about really what makes you who you are and how you can start to really step into and become the person that you really want to be. So we are so, so, so excited to dive into this with y'all today. And Dan, I know that has a lot that he wants to share as well. So to piggyback off of the last episode, episode 8, we spent a lot of time talking about beliefs and really what these beliefs are, where they come from. But most importantly, starting to really understand how these beliefs start to shape and create who you believe you are.
So that's a really interesting thing that we brought up a couple times in previous episodes. I think it was the one where we were talking about emotions, where you mentioned that Dr. Joe Dispenza has, you know, one of his famous quotes is, "Your personality creates your personal reality." And from the last episode, when we're talking about beliefs, we're talking about the confirmation bias, saying that your unconscious mind is in the constant state of seeking out evidence that supports your beliefs, whether it's going to find evidence in the world around you or create it. And so when we're talking about self-image, how you see yourself, your identity, it is constructed by these beliefs about yourself that are then reinforced using the confirmation bias. And then you then use it to create the reality around you based on who you are. So that's why this is some really, really crazy work. And talking about this stuff, yes, I mean, there's a ton. We're going to do our best to keep things in easy to digest chunks. But there's just so much good stuff in here. And so my wish for you in listening to this episode, the first thing that comes to mind is breaking yourself down, but not like the negative way, but just looking at like the Lego blocks that construct you, right? Where does this idea of you come from? How does it play out? And how is it something that's actually a construction, like a home, where you can see all the different bricks that are putting it together, or at least start to see how it was constructed?
Yeah, huge. And so just a little pre-frame for all of you listening, we are going to be talking about a lot on this episode, and it does go layers and layers, layers deeper. So just understanding that this is a big topic. And if you want to go into further study, we'll have a lot of other content that you can explore on this, and we'll make some other recommendations in the comments section below. But for right now, just understand that we really want you to get the foundation and the fundamentals. And if you want to go deeper into this, there will be other opportunities in later episodes. And as I mentioned in the comments below, we'll have other sections for that as well.
So let's get to one of the building blocks. So we've already talked about beliefs and a couple of examples of self-image beliefs. They usually start with, I'm not good enough. I'm too old. I'm not old enough. A lot of business owners, when they start getting into businesses and they start getting out on their own, have belief, I'm a fraud. I'm not as good as people think I am. Or maybe I'm just not qualified to be in this business after looking at so many other people who are better than me. So your beliefs and your self-image can also be expanding, help you out, support your success and your growth and your fulfillment, or they can be limiting, keeping you stuck or preventing you from having what you want. Now, your beliefs, they're also related to another important unconscious filter that have everything to do with your identity and who you see yourself to be, which are called values. Now, values, for the purposes of this conversation, are what's important to you, not what you like or don't like, not what you want or don't want. It's just what's important to you. For example, a lot of businessmen hate doing paperwork. I actually don't know anybody who does like it, but the people who are successful all make sure to handle their paperwork expediently. It's important to them. They may hate every single figure that they have to write into it, but they make sure they do it. Why? Because what's important to you, what's actually important to you, will adjust your behavior and it'll adjust what you think about yourself and the life around you. Now, as we're talking about this, is something really important here that, again, you have a conscious, you have an unconscious. And so a lot of times people will think that things are important to them because society has told them they should be, or maybe family or friends. A lot of times people will say, well, money is important to me. Yeah, because that's what our society has told us that should be important to us. Hey, we should really be concerned about becoming wealthy and rich. But what if it isn't? What if you don't care? What if money's just not on there? So your behavior is going to be guided by your, well, lower value of money, of you not really taking it very seriously. It's not very important to you, even though you might tell yourself that it is. And that can lead to a discrepancy of what you tell yourself, your conscious value, and what actually is important to you.
This is monumental in a one word. Because it's understanding that your values, right, at the core level and the unconscious really do create, in a way, that cognitive dissonance, especially when you're in conflict. And, you know, an example that I'll give here to make this more tangible is you want to be successful, right? And success, logically, you value success. You value getting to a certain level and achieving at a certain level. But if you have a core value in your unconscious mind that family is the most important thing to you, right? And you value family. And you have this belief that the more successful I get, the less time I'll have with my family. If that core belief of family is so important, it's one of the most important things that you value, you'll start to feel this inner conflict of wanting to achieve but holding yourself back because you don't want to hurt or let go of or disregard what's most important unconsciously. And so this is where you oftentimes you'll see a lot of business owners or a lot of entrepreneurs start to procrastinate and say, I'm trying to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm trying. And never really getting to that level of success, or they limit themselves to the capacity of which they can grow to because there's an unconscious belief that getting to whatever that next value is taking away from one of their current values that they feel is even more important.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there can be so many different conflicts. I think we should spend some time on this. For example, here's another conflict between a belief and value. I'm going to go back to money because this is one of the things that a lot of my clients come to see me for. And I'll see something like someone coming in and saying, you know, money's really important to me. It's a value. It's a very sincere value. I think about it. I try to make it all day, but it's just not happening. Why isn't it happening? And then we'll find out that they have a belief, something like they'll never be wealthy, or maybe that all wealthy people are materialistic and cruel, or that good things tend to just leave. Like they can't hold on to anything that's good. So they make a little bit of money and then poof, it's gone. So you see there is a person kind of torturing themselves because the thing that's so important to them, they have a belief that'll tell them they're never going to have it.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite topics. Dan and I are both smiling if you guys can't hear it. And part of this is really, I'll use this example with a client that I was working with. She had this goal. She wanted to make $1 million a year. That was her goal. And she's like, I'm trying to figure out how to do it. And every time we would talk about strategy, the business perspective of it, okay, well, you know, here's all these different ways and how to get there. Every single time it was, well, that I just don't know if I could do that. I don't know if that's possible. I don't understand it. And all of these different beliefs coming up. And when we started to do the deep work, we moved away from the strategy, we moved into the personality. What we uncovered, and just like Dan mentioned, there was this deep-rooted belief that people that are massively successful are terrible people, and they're assholes, and they can't be loved, and they can't be trusted. And having that belief for her unconsciously was, if I become successful and make that $1 million in a year, my family isn't going to love me anymore. They're going to disown me. They're not going to want me around. And so it was more important, it was more valuable for her to have that connection than it was to get to that level of success because of the belief that she was holding around what success meant. And we can dive into, oh gosh, there's so much here, the meanings that you give to your beliefs, right? And so it's really, really important that we start to understand, number one, knowing what it is you want at a conscious level, but also understanding and listening to what you feel on the unconscious level, if you feel pulled to it or if you feel like there's resistance there. And oftentimes when you feel resistance, right, you're not feeling motivated or you don't really feel driven or feel pulled to it. That's one of the first signs where maybe there's something that is in conflict in your unconscious mind in regard to your conscious mind.
So there can be a ton of conflicts in here. And as you can start seeing, your self-image, that plays a big role in what happens in your life. Whether you believe you can or can't do something, whether you deserve or don't deserve. See, that's another big thing that I think a lot of people have. I don't deserve being loved, or I don't deserve having this life, or maybe I'm not worth it, or I'm not good enough to have it. And so these limiting self-beliefs, these can change everything. But the values, the things that are important to you, making you work, making you think about it, and then shutting yourself down can be a really painful thing. So when you want to really achieve big things in your life, it's important to have your values and your beliefs pointing in the same direction. But there's another thing as well, that your values can conflict with each other. Maybe your identity, maybe your beliefs are all good. I'm good to go. I'm kicking butt in life. I deserve to have everything. I'm more than good enough. I'm freaking amazing. But you know what? I value time and money, or maybe freedom and money. And they're both really important to me. Well, that's a little bit of a conundrum there, isn't it? Because, I mean, in order to make money, a lot of us need to work. You know, there's some of us who have gotten to a level in our careers where we just press a button and money, boom. But most of us aren't quite there yet. I know I'm not there yet. I would love to be, but I've got to put in some time if I'm going to make money. But if time is really important to me, well, if I go to have more time, that means that I'm not going to be making as much money. And so we can get into a tug of war with ourselves and what we think is really important. And actually, beliefs can be born out of that little battle that we have with ourselves too.
Yeah, and this is really, really big. And there's this concept of, you know, you have values that you want to move towards, and then you have values that you want to move away from. And one of the examples that we'll use here, just because we're already on the topic of success and money, we value, one of the things we want to move towards is success. But we want to move away from one of the values that we really, like, it's our top moving away from value is rejection. We don't want to be rejected. And so if that's one of what's most important to us is to not be rejected, we're going to avoid any situation where rejection is a possibility because that is such an important value to us. And that is limiting the success that we're able to have. Because as any successful person would tell you, is that you do have to face a certain amount of rejection or perceived rejection in order to get to the certain level of success. And so just as Dan's talking about it, it really is like you're having this internal war. You're like, I know what I need to be doing. And this is a phrase that we hear so often. I know what I need to be doing, but I can't seem to get myself to do it. And so this is really understanding that perhaps there's the possibility that there's an internal conflict in the values, whether it's just the values of, you know, two things that you really value and you want, or two things that maybe one of them you really do want and the other one you really don't want. And then starting to understand what's going on in your unconscious that's creating that conflict.
That just makes me think of dating so much. I feel like, oh God, I want to talk to her so bad. No, no, no. Don't want to be rejected. Don't want to be rejected. Don't want to be rejected.
Yes. It's perfect example. Right?
You stand there just, and she leaves the room. Like, why?
And huge.
And it just, torture, right? There's another conflict that can happen as well, which is moving away from two things that you don't want. Which again, my mind just goes to relationships, which is, how many times have people gone into relationships? You know, maybe you've done this, or maybe you've seen someone do this. They really don't want to be alone. So they get into a relationship, but the moment they get into a relationship, they don't want to be tied down. And so it's like this, they do a lot of stuff to get into a relationship, but the moment they get into this relationship, it's like, nah, get off me. And they stop everything. But the moment that their partner says, I think I'm going to break up with you, they're like, no, stay. I'll do anything. I'll do everything you want. And so it's this sort of back and forth little dance coming from these values. What are important to you? How does that help shape your identity? And that really brings us into the idea of, where did these values even come from? And it's really important to know, are these really yours? Goes back to that idea. Is this a conscious value? Am I just telling myself that this is important to me or not? Because these can come from family. I know a lot of people who have very strong family relationships. And if dad says you can't date him, that's it. We're done. Even though she might believe that it's totally fine. But nope, you can't date people from a different culture. Ooh, that happens sometimes. That happens quite a bit. Actually, I was going out with a gorgeous woman. She was Armenian and really tight with her family. And her dad would really only let her date guys who are also Armenian, is keep it within the culture. There you have a family and a cultural value of keeping it there. And anytime he'd find out that she was dating someone else, God forbid a white guy, boom, done. End of the relationship. Cannot have it. And there she was kind of struggling with her own values. That sort of conscious value of accepting what other people have told her to want or not want versus what she wanted, what she thought was important, what she thought that she was going to move towards or away from. And it's really important to start thinking about not only what you think is important to you, but is it really important to you? Does it actually affect your behavior unconsciously, or are you adopting someone else's values?
Huge. The analogy that I use with a lot of my clients when we're talking about taking on someone else's values is, it's like you're walking down a street and somebody holds out this tiny little pink shirt. It looks like it's like for a 2-year-old. And they say, hey, this shirt, like, you should wear this shirt. This shirt is perfect for you. I think this shirt would look great on you. And you decide to take that shirt and you put it on, you wear it, and you kind of feel weird and awkward and uncomfortable. And it's like, I don't know if this is my size, right? And we go around life and we're walking around and we're trying to understand why we feel so uncomfortable wearing the shirt. It's not yours. And oftentimes we take on the beliefs, the values of the people that we love the most or the people that have had the most influence on us. And we wear them believing that they're ours, when in reality they're not. And just like you can take off that ugly tiny pink shirt that's not yours, you can take off and unwear the beliefs and the values that aren't aligned with who you really are. And it's understanding that there doesn't mean that they're bad or that they're wrong or that they're not what you're supposed to be. It's just understanding that those aren't the ones that you want to hold on to. And it's really starting to step into this idea of, who is it you really want to be? What is it you really want to believe? And what would you need to value in order to become and experience life that way?
You see this a lot with especially teenagers, but also, you know, young adults. Hey, even adults do this sometimes. When there's a group of friends and someone's trying to fit in and they have their list of values, what's important to them. But then the group of friends seems to have different ones. And there you'll find the group of friends sometimes trying to peer pressure the individual into valuing something else, into changing their values. And then comes the conflict, which is, man, I really want to be friends with these people. Okay, I'll give in. I'll do these things, or, you know, I'll try on this tiny little shirt, right? Yeah. Hey, everybody in this group wears this tiny little shirt. I'm going to try to tie, you know, this tiny little shirt on me. And for a little while, it might feel okay, but then it always seems to come up, and it can come up in weird ways, and it come up as stress or anxiety or just all sorts of bad and, you know, negative emotions and just icky feelings of just not being yourself, right? Of trying to change who you are. That's how integral values are to your identity. They kind of shape who you are. And so when you're trying to put on that tiny little shirt, but not just wear it, but like graft it onto your body, it can feel really rough. And then on the flip side, you can see what happens. I know what it's like to do that. That was me in essentially all of school, like even a lot of college. And then finding my tribe, or even just finding another tribe member who can show you, it's like, oh, dude, I haven't been wearing that shirt ever, man. Like, no one I know is wearing that tiny little stupid shirt. Take that thing off. And then being able to take it off and like, being able to breathe for the first time in years. And like, oh my God, I can finally be myself. I can finally act on what's truly important to me. And it's an amazing feeling. And I think it's worth putting in effort to find different people, finding your tribe, finding people who line up on your values, right? And creating your environment from that, rather than trying to change what's important to you to fit into someone else's shirt.
Yeah, love it. And it's such a beautiful analogy. And I love the way that you just, the artistry that you have is just incredible. But more importantly, guys, it really is understanding that you get to create who it is you really want to be. And the quote that I love is, it's not about becoming something. It's about unbecoming everything that you're not. And I love this because so often, especially in based off of our cultures and where you're born and where you're raised, you come in and there's all these things that are put on you and how you're supposed to be and how you're supposed to behave and what you're supposed to believe and how you're supposed to feel. And we start to try to fit this mold or this model or this tight shirt that it just doesn't feel right. And as we're going through life, we're wondering, why do I feel so uncomfortable in my own skin? And we start to step into and explore different parts of the world or different cultures or different ideas, or we go into more of the woo-woo stuff where we start to understand less rigid ways of thinking. And we start to see ourselves from different perspectives. And as we do that, we start to let go and we say, this shirt doesn't quite fit. This isn't me. We start to let go of, okay, well, maybe, you know, that's not really mine either. I don't really want to have my hair like this. I don't really like wearing my shoes like this. These shoes are 10 times too small. And I've been wondering why my feet have been cramped, that it's so uncomfortable to walk. And as we start to let go of all of these things that aren't really who we are, we're able to really step into and create who it is we really want to be. And that is so liberating when we are able, and just as Dan mentioned, to have the tribe members, the people that show us the possibility. And I hope that this podcast can start to do that for you, to start to show you the possibility of who you can create for yourself to be. You give yourself permission to become something that you truly love.
It's like Michelangelo and his sculpting. So Michelangelo created David. I mean, it's just maybe the greatest sculptor of all time. Said that the way that he would do it was that he would go into a quarry and he'd find a slab of marble that would call out to him. And he would see the sculpture trapped inside of that slab of marble. And instead of sculpting the figure out of the slab, he would free the sculpture from all of the excess marble. He would chip away at all the things that were not the sculpture and he would let it out. And Sophie, that just reminded me so much of what you were saying, is that you have that sculpture, that perfect sculpture within you already. It's there. It's always been there. And I feel like the process of life and of growing is not necessarily about adding marble, adding clay. No, it's about letting things go. It's about finding out who you really are and letting go of the excess. It can sometimes be a painful process of just, no, you know what? This isn't me. Maybe you've had some good memories with this place or this person, this thing, but it's not me anymore. And it's just time to let it go.
As you can hear me take a breath of fresh air, it really is so freeing when we give ourselves permission. And I use that very intentionally. We give ourselves permission to let go of who we think we need to be so we can become the person that we really are. And I love, love, love this analogy that you use. I think it's so beautiful because it really is understanding, guys. Everything that you want to experience, everything that you want to feel, that you want to think, that you want to believe, that you want to be, it's already in there. But number one, we have to give ourselves permission to let go, to unlearn everything we think we know, so we can start to see the world from a different perspective and take in and understand who we really are.
Now, there's another side to who we really are as well that I think is really important to bring up. And that is the shadow. And it's a tricky part here because some people think of the shadow because it kind of sounds like a monster. So they think that it's inherently bad. Well, the shadow, Carl Jung brought this notion up into psychology. The shadow is essentially the parts of you that you do not like, what you don't want to be, who you're afraid you might be. And there's these parts of you that are there that we inherently want to reject, right? Because identity isn't just who you want to be. It's also who you don't want to be or who you wish you weren't. And we've got to get to know our shadow as well. In fact, sometimes it might even be even more powerful to figure out what your shadow is, to find that out instead of what you want to be. Like, exactly, you know, you got this big piece of marble. If we're going to say that we want to free away the excess pieces, the pieces we don't want to be there, well, that's the shadow. And so it's equally as important to find out what you'd like to remove and be able to understand it and then gently let it go so that you can let your sculpture, your real side out. So let's talk a little bit about the shadow.
Yeah, I love that you brought this up. This is a fun one. The quote that I'll use for this comes from, I'm sure you guys have heard of him, just a small man named Tony Robbins, where focus goes, energy flows. And this is really, really, really key in understanding the concept of the shadow. Because if we're putting so much focus and saying, I don't want to be this person, I don't want to be that, I don't want to feel that, that's not me, that's not me. And we're focusing so much on what we don't want. We're putting all of our energy into not being that. But if our energy is going there, then we have little to no energy to put into what we do want to create. And so the idea that I'll bring up here is, again, how woo-woo do we want to get? Is this concept of quantum physics, quantum mechanics, right? That all realities all exist, that everything and nothing is all happening at the same time, and that everything is true, that we are all murderers, that we are all lovers, that we are all capable, that we are all everything and nothing all at the same time. And to accept that is really what I would say one of the biggest keys. Because again, the more that we resist it, it persists. And so this beautiful work of understanding the shadow is letting go of that resistance and accepting that possibility so that you can release that energy and have it to put into what it is you really want to create, what it is you really want to tap into. And so for a lot of people, they say, oh, no, I'm not a murderer. That's not me. And we would say, well, have you ever stepped on an ant? Have you ever smushed a spider? Then you're a murderer. That was just an innocent little creature, regardless of what you believe about it. And it's just understanding that all of these possibilities, they're real. And it's just asking yourself, are you spending all of your energy focusing and putting it into what you don't want to be and resisting? And you're so exhausted by the end of that, you don't have the energy to create who it is you really want to be. Or can you start to accept and see this beautiful shadow, all of its possibility? and start to accept whatever that is. And from that, free that energy so you can start to create what you do want to be.
It's kind of like going up to give a speech and just thinking, don't choke, don't choke, don't choke, don't choke, don't choke. You're going to go up there and what's going to happen? Chances are you're not going to nail it, right? And that's kind of what we do to ourselves when we reject, when we actively reject. I know it's kind of like almost an instinctive kind of response. We just don't want it. We don't want to think of ourselves that way. We want to be perfect little angels. And anything else, no, 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 no. But like Sophie says, that kind of invites it in. We're focusing even more on it. And by accepting it, it kind of makes it go away. It's almost like in school that one of the things that I learned real quick, that people were going to bully me for all sorts of things. I was super tall and gangly. I had really bad acne. I was wearing braces, all sorts of stuff like that, that made me feel really bad. And especially when people picked on me for it. But I learned that if I accepted it and kind of made fun of it first and just brought it up, or even if they made fun of me and I just had no response, because like, yeah, I got acne, man. I'm a freaking teenager. What do you want? It's happening. The pain would go away. And eventually the ridicule would as well. And that's the same thing, because we pick on ourselves, don't we? We kind of bully ourselves for the things that we have, maybe even worse than other people. And so there you have another example. Well, if we just accept it, maybe even make it a fun part of ourselves, that it's not a big deal. Like before this episode, Sophie and I were doing some planning and we were doing simple math. I think it was addition. Just simple numbers.
Simple, guys. We're talking
super duper simple.
Two digit.
Yeah. And both of us just messed it up, like gloriously flubbed it. And we just laughed at each other for a good couple of minutes. I'm like, oh my God, like we need an intern. Like we can't do this. We are two grown adults, cannot do simple math. And if we had looked at it and thought like, oh my God, like we're so stupid. I can't believe we did that. Blah, blah. Neither one of us. Oh God, we're both losers. Like that's a totally different feel. But we just laughed and they're like, this is actually hilarious. One of us needs to be the numbers person. Like it's not okay. And we just kind of joked around with it and it felt great. You know, and by us accepting and just having fun with it, we can just let that negative energy just go and maybe even flip it around. Because here's the other thing. If you don't dissipate it itself, your unconscious mind is going to do something really interesting. What it'll do is it'll project your shadow into the world around you, and then it'll draw your attention to it by making you upset by it. Because it thinks that that's how you're going to see it and then do something about it. But a lot of times we'll just scapegoat. You know, we'll see someone else who's being really impatient. It bugs the crap out of us. And we'll say, oh, that person's just an a-hole. Not that, oh, maybe I'm a little impatient. Or maybe I have a problem with this. Or maybe there's something within me. We'll just say, nah, it's that person. That person's a jerk. F them. And we move about our way. And so that's another way to get to know the shadow, is to experience life and just see, okay, what behavior do I see in other people that really bugs me? Why does it bug me? What is in me that is allowing me to be bugged by it? Because trust that no one can make you feel anything except for you. You can allow them, and that's you doing it too. And if you get bothered by someone else's behavior, that's something in you being triggered. And by identifying that thing, it could be a belief, and we talked about beliefs in the last episode. It could be something in your values or your self-image, but there's something there. And by getting to know it, then maybe you can accept it and love it out of existence, you know, hug it so tight it vanishes.
I so love that you brought this up. I'll use a personal story for this one. I had a lot of issues when it came to relationships around abandonment and rejection. And so whenever I was in a relationship and they would start to do something, it had absolutely nothing to do with me. I would start to take that and bring on these feelings of like abandonment and rejection and what that means and how I didn't like that behavior and what they were doing and how it was hurting me. And thank goodness for coaches, because one of my coaches was one of the ones who brought this concept up. And what they showed me was, what they're doing has absolutely nothing to do with you. What you're seeing in that is something that reflecting in yourself that you're not wanting to accept. And it was this fear of abandonment and this fear of rejection. And so I was taking that and seeing that and trying to avoid it and trying to hold on tighter, which was making it worse and worse and worse, because then the tighter that I would try to hold on to these relationships, the more that they would want to go away. And so as I started to realize, like, holy crap, them going out and doing this and spending time with their friends or spending time away from me, it has nothing to do with me. But the reason why I would get irritated is there was this inner piece of rejection and abandonment that I was so afraid of that I would do anything to try and avoid it. And the moment that I started to recognize that within myself and understand, okay, obviously this is something that's beautiful inside of me, and there is this fear of rejection and abandonment, which is, it's real, it's a possibility. And the meaning that I was choosing to give to it, what that would mean about me. And before it was this meaning, well, if I'm rejected or abandoned, then that means that I'm not lovable and I'm not good enough and that I'm always going to be alone. And it started to change, because when I started to recognize that piece in me, and instead of resist it and fight it, right, and try to pretend like it's not there and avoid it, I started to love it. And I said, oh, honey, you are so, so beautiful. And I get it. You had some stuff happen when you were younger, but it has nothing to do with you. And the more that I was able to start to do that, instead of telling that little girl inside of me that, no, you shouldn't feel that way and pretend like you're not, and just hold her and hug her and say, you know what, it's okay. It's okay that you feel that way. And I get it. I mean, anybody that had gone through what you've gone through would probably feel that way too. But here's the beautiful thing. It doesn't mean that about you. And starting to learn to love that and appreciate that, even the parts of you that you don't want to see the beauty in, there to serve you just as much as the parts that you think are so beautiful. And you need both. You really, really do.
That's such a critical thing to bring up here, that a lot of times we attribute things to ourselves. We define ourselves by things that aren't really definitions. Either things that, you know, things that are our fault, or we give things meaning that have to do with us. This person didn't call when they said they were going to. That must mean that they don't like me. And that must mean that I'm not lovable. I'm not likable, right? We can bring things in. We can make things so personal to ourselves and then kind of beat ourselves up with it, even though it has nothing to do with us. But also, it's really important to remember that even the things that we do don't always define us. That sometimes we make mistakes, but that doesn't mean that we are terrible people. We could lose a lot of money in an investment, but that doesn't mean that we're stupid, right? That doesn't mean that we're terrible. We can say things we don't mean to people we love. That doesn't make us bad people. That it's very easy sometimes, especially when things go wrong, and especially when we have a lot of that negative emotion coursing through our veins, we can apply labels to ourselves. We can call ourselves things. We can judge ourselves. And then the more times that happens, it can become a full-fledged belief within our self-image and identity. But it's really important to remember that that doesn't always mean that's you. There's a lot that goes through your unconscious mind. There's so many different things. It's hard to actually just minimize anybody into anything. I have some people saying, I feel like I'm a bad mother, or I feel like I'm stupid. And in that moment, it's like they have just minimized everything. They have taken all of the things that are happening in their lives, chosen to ignore all of it, and just decided, no, this thing is me, this thing. And I'll say, why? I was like, well, because I yelled at my son. I'm like, that's it? That's why? I'm like, yeah, but he cried and I felt really bad and I feel like I'm a bad mother. And in that moment, it's this person who has decided to define herself based off of one or even a few events. You got to remember, you're so much more than just that thing. And yeah, maybe you messed up. Maybe something bad happened. Maybe you did cause it. I'm not going to deny these things. We've all been there. But it's important to give yourself that compassion and give yourself that patience and hold off from making judgments that may lead to very concrete definitions that you're going to have to undo later.
Yeah, huge, 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 huge. And I think it's not what you do that defines who you are. It's who you are that defines what you do and how you do it. And it's a beautiful thing. Am I going to create who I want to be and what I want to experience based off of what I've done and who I've been? Or am I going to do these things because I believe that I am capable, that I am worthy, that I am all of this incredible possibility and limitlessness, this infinite possibility? And because of these beliefs, I'm going to go ahead and do all of these incredible things. And again, it comes back to that, the chicken and the egg analogy that Den mentioned in the last episode. Is it that we are who we are because of what we do, or is it because of who we are that's what we do? And I would encourage you and I would invite you to really ponder, am I who I am because of what I've done? Do I do this because it's who I am? And the more that we can start to really play with the idea that who you are is what creates what you do and how you do it, the question then becomes, who do you need to be?
And that gets into your task for this episode, which is all about awareness. I want you to get out a piece of paper and write down your beliefs about you. Make one column for all the beliefs about you, good, bad, weird, ugly. Now, here's the thing. As you write them down, listen in. Is what you're writing true? Look, no one else is going to see that paper, right? You can only lie to yourself. So when you write something down and you feel like that, that's not really true. Maybe I want this to be true. Or maybe you'll write something down and you'll think, I don't want this to be true. I want this to be true. I don't want this to be true. This is real. This isn't real. Get to know all of your responses when you're writing things down. And the goal here is to write as many things down as possible, where as you write it, you know it's the truth. You start listening to yourself. Start really getting to know yourself. And on the second column, in the second list, write down what's important to you in life. But really what's important to you, not what you've been told, not what society wants you to think is important. And you know that because what's really important to you will affect what you think about and what you do. So write down a list of those, take a look at those, and then just think about your life and see how much has been created or how much has not been created based on what's important to you and what you believe about yourself.
Yep. And on that note, guys, we are so, so excited that you were able to stay tuned for this whole episode. We know it is a lot. And like we mentioned, we'll be providing some links and some references if you guys want to go deeper into any of this content that we mentioned today. Again, we are just scratching the surface here, which is hard to believe because there is so much. But really, just take some time to just appreciate you. And like Dan mentioned, so really take this into consideration, guys, and spend the time to do this exercise because it will be so eye-opening for you to really start to see and understand a lot about who you believe you are, so we can really start to uncover and discover who it is you really are inside and the possibility, the potential of who you can become.
All right, guys, that is it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. We could have gone on for hours, but instead we just have a whole lot more episodes for you next. So come on back, because the very next episode, we're going to talk about perception of reality. So what is perception? How does your brain turn all this craziness around you into something that makes sense and feels real? And we'll talk about how that creates a lot of the things that we like and don't like in this life. So until next episode, guys, have a great one.